Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 on the 8th. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. I should have finished the sentence. Okay, on the 8th of June, 2022. So, yes, it is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thank you for being with us today. We have a show with a very dear and good friend of mine. Okay, John Harrington is the CEO of Funds for Learning at fundsforlearning.com. They're the E-Rate consulting organization for both schools and library to whom E-Rates apply. And he is really an expert, and he's not only an expert in this on the side of business, he actually does great work with the government and with schools all across the country to make sure they have the information they need and the laws that are there, et cetera, to make all this work with the ECF, the Emergency Connectivity Fund. Jeez, excuse me. And also with E-Rates, okay? And it's really going to be a good show. We're going to talk about all things E-Rate, all things ECF, Emergency Connectivity Fund, what's going on with the FCC, which John is intimately involved with, and it's going to be a terrific show. We're going to archive over at ace-ed.org. That's our home website, the American Consortium for Equity and Education, and as such, we publish our online journal, Equity and Access Pre-K-12, and that's over on the website, ace-ed.org. Just click through, and on the cover of the magazine, you'll be able to read a terrific issue. Our newest website that's connected over there is teacher-retention.com, and we're very, very concerned about teacher retention. We know all you folks are under a lot of pressure. There was a big article today in the New York Times on the front page about that, okay, that talked about the pressures educators are under. We don't want to lose you. All right, so we're going to do everything we can to keep you and make things available to you. Teacher-retention.com. Social-emotional learning, we cover at seltoday.org. Again, all these are linked over at ace-ed.org. And our Equity Award, Excellence in Equity Awards, nominate yourself, nominate companies. Okay, companies can nominate themselves and their products. Teachers can nominate your college. We've got 27 categories of excellence in equity. You'll see an icon for awards, okay, over at ace-ed.org. All right, everything in the world that you need is over at ace-ed.org. The only other things you need are fundsforlearning.com. Would that be correct, John? Everything?
Well, of course, Larry. It's just that simple.
Right. If you just the only thing is ace-ed.org plus fundsforlearning.com equals everything. There you go. We got it.
Exactly. I mean, that and, a banana, and you've got everything you need, you know. For
there you go.
Long,
I don't like bananas. You peel them, you throw away the skin, and get rid of the bone. There's nothing left. I don't understand it. I don't know what's going on with bananas. That was a bad joke. Sorry. See, peel away the skin, throw away the bone, you got nothing left. Never mind. All right. John Harrington, how are you? Always too long between conversations. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing very well, Larry. I am just thrilled to be talking to you. It's been quite a while, and it's been a busy past year. You know, it's just been kind of a whirlwind of opportunities for schools and libraries with different funding, emergency funding, and so on. But it has kept us very busy trying to navigate all those waters.
And you navigate them well, you do, at Funds for Learning. And I want to say again what I said, Funds for Learning is a business, all right? You guys, to do work with schools, but you go far above that. You and your company are so involved, okay, with helping the FCC, looking at the laws, getting the information out there on your website. I mean, you go above and beyond, and I want everybody to understand that. You're like a lighthouse for E-Rates and ECF and all that sort of thing, take people across the rocks. Good stuff, John.
Thank you, Larry. Yeah, our mission, this is actually our 25th anniversary as an organization, and our purpose, our vision, is to transform student lives by helping schools and libraries get students connected. And so, and boy, that has been front and center the past 2 years. So it's rewarding work. It's hard work. But it's, you know, it's nothing compared to the work that the schools are doing, and just the massive lift, you know, that we've seen these schools, whether it's when the students were remote or now back in school, you know, the stress and strain that it's placed, on schools has been remarkable. And we've been really fortunate to just be in a position where we can help that.
Right, and you do help out. And by the way, the Funds for Learning is in Oklahoma. John, do you know Renee Dove, who is the superintendent of Okmulgee? Do you know her?
But no, I do not.
Well,
but
I'm going to send you a show we did, okay, on Monday week. All right, and Renee Dove, okay, D-O-V-E, is the superintendent there. I just want to tell a story about this. Because they work with a lot of children on the Indian reservations, the Indian lands, okay, a lot of the kids when the pandemic hit were not even close to having access to broadband. And she tapped into she told me on Monday, she tapped into the Emergency Connectivity Fund, okay, and got everybody connected. And so the kids, because a lot of the Native American parents didn't want the younger kids especially to go to school. Okay, and so they got everybody connected. Emergency Connectivity Fund. Just one cool story. And from Oklahoma, I'm happy to introduce you if you don't know her, John.
Oh, yeah. No, that's just fantastic. You know, I mean, that is, to me, that is, you know, that story has been played out so many times.
Yeah.
And it is remarkable the work that has been done to keep students connected, to keep teachers connected. And, you know, and really to not just sort of sustain, but really move forward a lot of educational opportunities through these different technologies and things. But it takes individuals like that superintendent really rolling up their sleeves and doing the work, and which is, of course, what, you know, our mission is to partner with them to support them in those efforts so that they can get their students connected.
I'm going to try to help you partner by introducing you guys. You should know each other.
Yeah, that's
two
fantastic.
Oklahomans.
You know,
yeah, it'd be great.
Larry, you and I have talked for so long about how significant it is, this issue of digital equity and making sure students are connected. And at least now I think we're not having to educate people on the need, because I think most people now sort of understand, students need to be connected. But that hasn't erased the need. In fact, it's just increased the need.
Well, when you say that, what do you mean? You would think from the way you started the statement that, you know, it's the old line, everything that could be invented has been invented. You would think by now everybody who needs to be connected would be connected. What's the story on that? You brought up something interesting there, my friend.
Well, it's not a one-and-done project. You know, these are not you know, big roadways that we build and then we come back to 40 years later. When you're talking about internet access, you're talking about something that has to be maintained, expanded, updated, you know, daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. You know, it's like electricity in your home. You know, it's not just something you did and now you're done with it. You know, you've got to make sure you've got electricity, you pay your bill. You know, sometimes it goes out, and it's the same thing with student internet access. Is you don't just deliver it to them and say, hey, here you go, enjoy. It is something that you are continually working on, maintaining, sustaining, and whether that's the monthly internet connections, or in the case of the Emergency Connectivity Fund, you know, even the devices, the laptops. You know, I had to. My laptop was having an issue yesterday, and, you know, one of the great IT people I work with was able to fix it. But, you know, those things just take updates and patches, and so there's a whole ecosystem around supporting that connection. And, you know, it would be great if you could just say, okay, we did that, check, done. But it's not like that. The nature of the problem or the challenge or the opportunity, rather, is that it requires ongoing commitment, ongoing resources, and you know, you're now in a position as a school district that you've transitioned many of your students, many of your teachers, to another level of technology awareness and expectation. And if that goes away in a year, what do you do? Sort of like you dust off the textbooks now and bring those back out? No, you can't.
Yeah, right.
It's a challenge that's going to be with us.
Wow.
But it's a great opportunity as well. I'm really, really optimistic about where things are with education, technology, and the doors that it's opening for so many students. We just, as the adults, we have to do the job, do the work of making sure that those connections and those devices are there, really to bridge that gap that we know exists.
Yeah, we really do. And what's going on with the Emergency Connectivity Fund? Okay.
Well,
again, I'll just tell everybody, it was the $7 billion fund. $7 billion, pretty soon we're talking about real money, as we like to say. Probably that's not even enough. Okay. But I just want to say, because you sent me this, the last funding opportunity was in May. So what happens now with ECF, Emergency Connectivity Fund, which, by the way, again, Okmulgee used. Okmulgee, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. Okmulgee.
So what? She said, yeah. Did you just say Okmulgee? Okmulgee?
Uh-huh.
Is it Okmulgee or Okmulgee? I think it's Okmulgee. I've been saying it wrong, right? Okmulgee.
It's a tomato sort of thing.
I think you're right. Okmulgee. Thank you. All right, moving right along.
But you know, Larry, it's your podcast, so I feel like, you get to
but
set
you're the You're the guest, okay? Okmulgee. Okay, D. Willikers, let's move on. Okmulgee, you're right, it is a hard G. I forgot about that. Renee told me that. Okmulgee. Why is there an OK in front of Oklahoma and Okmulgee? Do you have any idea? Why is there an OK? What's that mean? Oklahoma, Okmulgee. What's that mean? OK. Just for the song. Never
mind.
All right.
Let's go back to the bananas. No.
Okay. ECF, what's going on with that?
Well, the E in ECF is emergency. And by definition, those emergency funds are one-time funds. It's not a recurring program. It was not established as something that would continue on into the future. So it provided support in an instance of time. It did its mission, and it's doing it, now even very well, but it is not an ongoing mission. It is a one-time program, as you mentioned, $7 billion, providing support for off-campus connections for students that lack internet access at home or lack a laptop computer to use. And those funds now, in the very near-term future, will be fully accounted for. And then really the Emergency Connectivity Fund, as it stands today, will be over, which is frightening because
that's what I'm thinking as you're saying this. Yeah,
12 months from now, students will need internet access. 12 months from now, students will need laptop computers. And as a society, we have to figure out how to best approach this challenge.
I have a simple way, John. Mm-hmm. John, you are friendly with the folks at FCC. Just tell them that the Emergency Connectivity Fund, in order to continue, we just drop the word emergency and just call it the Connectivity Fund. There you go.
Yeah. And that is the conversation we've been having.
Simple.
Letting them know that, for a teacher to plan a lesson, they need to know who in their class will have access to the materials, who in their class will be able to watch the video. And of course, we all sort of intuitively understand that every student in that class needs to have that same opportunity. But we also know that about a third of them, on average, don't. They don't have a computer at home. They don't have internet access at home. And you can't build a lesson plan around two-thirds of the students having access to resources and another third not. So we have to have that consistency, and really we have to work now to put in the resources and the infrastructure today so that type of continuity can be in place next year when the emergency connectivity funds expire. But there really needs to be somewhere that we can go, some sort of permanent support. And really what makes the most sense from my perspective is to make it a part of the existing E-rate funding program.
Of course.
You know, it's got a tried and true tested, you know, systems and procedures and oversight forms and everything. You know, just allowing schools and libraries to submit requests for this connectivity, off-campus connectivity, makes a ton of sense. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. We don't have to go out and create some sort of new bureaucracy and more forms. That's the last thing schools need, you know, is another agency that they have to deal with, you know. But we can leverage the existing resources, the existing forms and agencies, and give the students what they need, which is a persistent, reliable internet connection, a consistent, reliable device that they can use, and then we can step back out of the way and let the teachers do what they do best.
I hope. But you know, you said something that struck me. You said, and correct me if I misheard you, a third of students still need, if I may, connectivity, you know, however you want to say that, be it a device or broadband or whatever, and they don't. And my curiosity is, considering that the ECF was in place and certainly E-rates are in place, why don't they have it? What's going on in those school districts or whatever that those kids don't have it? What's the rationale, the reason? Aren't they taking it? The school districts aren't taking advantage. What's going on?
Well, the school districts are just overwhelmed. When you consider the scope of what has been thrown at them, you know, funds for learning. You know, as you know, we work with schools and libraries nationwide. We help them do these applications. We typically have one filing window each year in which we help schools and libraries submit their requests for internet access to their school buildings. Well, over the course of the past 13 months, we've had five of those application periods for E-rate and for the Emergency Connectivity Fund. And it is fantastic that those resources have been made available. And I will tell you, it's placed a tremendous strain on the staff, the school personnel, the library personnel that are charged with making this all happen, because you know, the dollars have to be accounted for. This isn't just a sort of walk up and just grab some money off the table. You know, I mean, there are standards. You know, all of this has to be. These are public funds; they need to be accounted for, used in particular ways. So there's a lot of work involved in getting these out there, and so. But the schools haven't been in a position where they can go, hey, let's hire some more staff, you know, to do this. Instead, they've leaned on their existing teams, their existing staff, who not only have been scrambling to try to get these resources and funds in place, they're also in many times the same people that are actually out delivering laptops to students at their homes, you know, that are installing the software and troubleshooting a printer, you know. So it's not for lack of wanting. It's really just for lack of just a resource, bandwidth, you know, enough arms and hands and feet, you know, to kind of tackle this challenge, which again goes back to this whole notion of making sure that we can resource the schools adequately and do so in a manner that minimizes the additional strain, minimizes the additional work, the burden that's placed on the staff. They've got plenty to do. They don't need more.
That's why there's let me just do a little plug here. That's why there's funds for learning, to take the pressure off the staff, okay, and do the work. It's like doing your own income tax or having an accountant do it.
That's the role we play. You know, our primary philosophy is we want to help transform student lives. We're not in the classroom.
You do that.
So we want the people that are there, closest to the students, to be focused on what they are best equipped to do and have the the experience, the training, the professional certifications, and so on to do. They shouldn't have to mess with, okay, now how do I get these federal funds to do this? We focus on that part so that they can focus on the part of really impacting students.
Teaching kids.
Yeah.
And for a third of students nationwide, just as a generic average,
mm-hmm.
okay, a third of students do not have the right access and in danger of losing that at some point. Okay, school districts have to step up, and you've got to tap into the experts, okay, to make that happen. Okay, as good as everybody is, everybody's busy. The CTOs are now substitute teachers because there's a teacher shortage. Okay,
mm-hmm.
and you can't juggle that many plates at the same time. You got to give one of the plates over to John at Transfer Learning, and his team can take it over. Okay, it's unbelievable. You know, John, you mentioned this, and I don't understand. Oh, now I get it. You didn't. I read it wrong. You were talking about when we were preparing the show. You were talking about Jessica Rosenworcel, who's an amazing woman. She's the FCC chairwoman. This is a terrific lady. And she's put forth a proposal, and I read it as business Wi-Fi, but you meant school bus Wi-Fi, BUS.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, I read
yeah,
it as business.
Yep. So she,
that's as, a,
mm-hmm.
yeah, as opposed to the bus. Okay? What's this all got to do with it?
Well, it's all part of this overall vision of providing students access, keeping them connected when they need to be connected to the internet. And Chairwoman Rosenworcel has brought forth a proposal. She is, and she's a great advocate for education and students and for internet access. And you know, she has called upon her fellow commissioners at the FCC to expand the existing E-rate program to include support for Wi-Fi on school buses. This is an issue that many school districts struggle with. They have students that can, in some cases, spend hours each day on a school bus.
That's right.
Downtime for the students. In the old days, they may have had a textbook. They could get their textbook out and fill out a worksheet, which is a phrase. I don't know that my children even know what a worksheet is. They do everything online. But if you're on a school bus that doesn't have an internet connection,
then you can't
pull your worksheet.
Time
out.
Wasted.
You can't do your
time
homework.
Wasted.
Yeah.
Time wasted.
Yeah. So Commissioner or Chairwoman Rosenworcel has rightly, I believe, identified this as an area of opportunity. It's not the only need. It's one piece of the puzzle of keeping students connected whenever and wherever they need to be to do to do their schoolwork, to stay online and in school or in class.
And wouldn't that help? And I know a lot of districts do this. They park the bus at the kind of the furthest reach, which gives everybody a hot spot. They could use the bus, okay, and park it overnight. Are they doing that?
They are. I think that is a short-term solution. Really what is needed is a more sustainable solution.
Okay.
Ultimately, I think, Larry, many schools, districts now are looking at erecting various types of wireless internet connections, even around their community, certainly in areas of the community in which many of the families lack internet access.
Exactly.
Because I'm connected all the time, more than I want to be. But there are large segments of our society that don't have that opportunity, that don't have the opportunity to sort of put it in airplane mode and turn it off. It's just not – they don't have the choice, We need to give them that choice. And ultimately, it has to be something that is predictable, sustainable. It's not ideal for buses just to be parked around neighborhoods. It did what it needed to do. But long term, really, we just need infrastructure there to support. Yeah. Yeah. And that's why there needs to be a – they need to take the existing E-rate program – and overhaul it to include these off-campus connections, laptop computers. There's ways to do that allow schools and libraries to prioritize their funding. You know, these are limited resources, so we know that, you know, there's not an unlimited well of funds. So, but there are ways to allow schools to have the option to consider things like school bus Wi-Fi or perhaps off-campus internet connections, and to have the opportunity to select those and to provide those services that support to their constituents, their community.
They just got to do it. I mean, nobody can wait anymore. Okay, it's that simple. Nobody can wait anymore. When the pandemic hit, we saw what we needed to learn and what we needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you said it at the beginning. We've started to make those changes, but like you also said, we need more than an emergency connectivity fund. We need a connectivity fund. Okay, and these are the kind of things we're going to learn from the horror of the pandemic, which most people have forgotten about already. It's unbelievable. All right, it's just something we got to do. What's going on, particularly, okay, with E-rates, John? Okay, the filing, are the schools using it to the nth degree? Are there less as they get busier and busier with other stuff? What's happening with E-rates?
No, it's been a lifeline for schools. You know, over the course of the past few years, the demand for their internet connections has increased, and it's only growing more now that there are more devices, more laptop computers, more tablets. Larry, if you and I go into a Starbucks and maybe get our laptop out and connect to the internet, you know, if it's kind of congested and there's a lot of people trying to use it, it might buffer, and you might decide,
yep,
gosh, it's just not worth it. You know, I'll finish my latte and leave. I can't get online here. It's too busy.
That sounds like the name of your next novel. I'll finish my latte and leave. But go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. The John Harrington story.
Yeah.
The
Godfather,
teacher,
part one. But anyway, go ahead. Yeah.
A teacher doesn't have that opportunity. A student doesn't have that opportunity. So they have to have in their classroom or wherever they're at a connection that's fast, that's responsive, that is engaging, and which takes more bandwidth. So a lot of the schools now, because there are more devices on campus,
yep,
which is in many ways a wonderful problem to have, now they have to add more wireless access points. They've got to increase the bandwidth coming to their building. So what the great thing is that it's a good news story is that the E-rate program has been filling that gap. We've seen record requests for on-campus connections, for the networking on campus. We're seeing record amounts of bandwidth, number of data lines, record number of sites connected with support from the E-rate program. So it's really, the E-rate program is firing on all cylinders. It's doing exactly what it was designed to do. It's very efficient.
Isn't that great?
It really is.
It actually works.
And that's,
yeah,
it does. It's,
it works.
It's one of those, you know, there are, it's pretty easy to find federal programs that maybe aren't poster, you know, children for efficiency, but the E-rate program truly is one of those.
It works.
It's working, and it's delivering value to every corner of our country. And it's really then now, okay, how do we leverage this existing resource to further expand the reach of internet access to students, to teachers, to library patrons, and that's the conversation we are having today in Washington, D.C., is how can we take this successful program, leverage it to continue doing the work of connecting students. It's just, you know, when the E-rate program was launched 25 years ago, connecting students was really about, you know, it was a wire coming into the classroom, into the back of a computer, and
who
that
knew?
Was it. And now we know, you know, connectivity, the opportunities really are boundless. It needs to be a borderless E-rate program is really what we need.
Good point. That's a good way to say it. And, you know, what I think is going to happen, John, and because there's a, you know this certainly, there's a really serious teacher shortage out there, okay? And it's getting harder to find qualified bodies to stand in a classroom and teach these kids. They can always find an aide or something, but they need qualified people, okay, really qualified teachers. And I think schools, as we see change, are going to resort more and more to virtual education. And I'll use our friends in Okmulgee again, okay? They may not be able to have the best physics teacher in the world, but they can connect to that best physics teacher, okay, for advanced physics if the guy's in Florida or California. Okay, but that requires broadband. That requires access. And I think in light of what's happening out there, we're going to need more and more access, more and more broadband, more and more connectivity. Your thoughts, kind sir?
I want every student to have that opportunity that if they have a bent towards taking that AP physics class,
yeah,
that they have that opportunity. And it's not tied to, you know, which specific neighborhood or zip
exactly.
code or community that they live in. And there's absolutely no reason today that we can't do that. It's literally make sure the internet connections are there, make sure the devices are there, and then you can unleash that opportunity for a student. But, you know, it's unfathomable to me that in the year
yeah.
2022 that we could as a society sort of stand by and be okay with millions of people not having connections, millions of people sort of being disconnected from the rest of society. It's just, you know, education.
It's unbelievable. It can't be.
You know, technology can be a great equalizer. But it requires, you've got to have electricity, right?
Yep.
We fought that battle 100 plus years ago.
In 1930, in Oklahoma,
yeah.
I might add, you know, TVA and all that sort of stuff. Okay.
Yeah, they realize, like, okay, everyone needs this. We're not, you know, guaranteeing outcomes for everyone or any of this sort of thing, but we want to have a level playing field. There was a recognition, okay, we need electricity. We need individuals need access to electricity. And then there was a similar push for telephone service. Okay, we need
yes.
as a society to have connections. We need Grandma and Uncle Bob and everybody else to be able to, you know, pick up a phone.
I don't know about Uncle Bob, but Grandma's.
Well, he's always
Uncle Bob, man, maybe.
You know, and we're really at a similar point in our history of recognizing internet access is a fundamental part of our. It's a part of the fabric of our
part
society.
Of our culture. It is.
Yeah, and we need to find ways to make sure that it's there, it's ubiquitous, it's accessible, it's reliable, it's safe, it's secure, and there are many ways you could go about doing that. The really one of the easiest ways to do it is to leverage this existing E-rate funding program.
Yeah.
To expand that those resources out further into the community, and you could do that. We could have that in place a year from now, and then and students can stay connected, teachers can stay online, and never have to think about it.
Right, from
you
your
know,
as they
I,
say,
the
from your lips to God's ears, my friend. Okay, or at least to Washington D.C.'s ears. Okay, we just got to make this happen. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Last thing, okay, I assume you and the team are going to be at ISTE.
Yes. Yes,
okay.
We are at ISTE.
Coming
in
up
fact,
in
I'm,
June in New Orleans. Yeah, I won't see
yep,
you there. I can't
be...
make it this year. I can't be there, but you're going to be there.
Well, will you send that cardboard cutout again?
I will.
You know, I'll take that all around the French
there you
Quarter.
Go. Just walk around with it. Hello. Right? No, you know, so you're going to have a great day.
Like
you're going to have a great
Larry.
Time there. Yes, you're
flat
cardboard
Larry.
Larry.
We'll take pictures of you.
One dimensional. I
yeah.
was there. Where were you? Okay, that type of thing. Okay. You know, it's unbelievable.
But yeah, no,
you have a great show,
be,
you guys got to go. Go ahead, speak. We're talking over each other. Go ahead.
We're presenting on Wednesday afternoon,
good.
The 29th. Have a session with Cheryl Abshire and John Bernstein. We'll be talking
Cheryl.
About the latest E-rate policies and news. So, yeah, looking forward
great.
To that.
She's great,
and always
Cheryl.
Fun to be in New
She's...
Orleans. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is fun. Go to Drago's, have charbroiled oysters, and think of me. Please. do that.
I'll do it. I'll make my flat Larry cardboard cutout.
A table for four. There's only three of us. A table for four, please. Okay? Think of me. Okay? Dragos, charbroiled oysters. I wish I could get down there, but I can't this year. Okay? John, it's great to talk to you, man. Okay? It is just great. I'm going to introduce you to Renee Dove, the superintendent over at Okmulgee with that hard G. Okay?
Well, Larry, it's great to talk to you, and thank you for the work that you're doing and for just continuing to to beat the drum on these issues of digital equity and connectivity. You're doing a tremendous work for communities, and so thank you spreading the word. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it.
Hearing that from you means something to me, I got to tell you. So thank you very much. You take care. Be safe. Have fun.
I'm going to take my latte and leave now.
Again, that's the second book in the series. The first one was fabulous. Okay? So, I'll take my latte. The second one is I took my latte. It's a whole thing there. Okay? John, thanks a million, buddy. Take care. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Everybody, you know it. Fundsforlearning.com. Okay? It's like doing your own income tax. And I always say to my wife, I'll see you in federal prison if they ever catch us. Please, fundsforlearning.com, get all you can from what will hopefully become the eternal connectivity fund and also on the E-rates. Okay? And we'll archive at ace-ed.org. Check out all we do over there, our teacher retention, SEL, equity, and all the podcasts and also the awards program. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thank you, John. Thank you, Julie Fitzgerald over there. Bye-bye.